Thank you for downloading this Doctor Who podcast from the BBC. For more information, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Hello, faithful viewer. I'm Russell T. Davis. I'm the executive producer of this episode, but never mind that. Let me introduce you to...
I'm Stephen Moffat. Russell is currently the executive producer, I think is what he meant to say. I wrote this episode while sharpening a knife behind his back. Let me hand you over to...
My name's David Tennant, and I'm keeping out of this.
Which one of us do you love most?
Yeah. Who's best? Whose bits were best? Okay, list your favourite episodes in an order that will allow you to survive this room.
This podcast could be merciless. Let's break iTunes records and things. Other tunes are available.
Yes.
It does feel like I'm sitting in a small room with two presidents of the High Council of Gallifrey.
Yes, doesn't it all?
Who are you, Andred?
Who's Barusa and who's Flavia?
Oh, I'm Flavia. Come on. Give me that.
Can we both be Barusa? There's lots of Barusas.
There are lots of Barusas.
I'm Leonard Sachs.
Yeah. I was like John Arnott myself.
Which one's he?
What do you mean, which one's he? Oh, no. For goodness sake. No.
Was he the original?
Not real fans. No, he's number two in Invasion of Time.
He's coming back. Is he still alive? He's phoning his agent, right?
I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, very like...
That was that, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you think, Stephen? Keeping this?
Oh, they've done that one already.
I know, but this is a podcast.
All right, okay. This.
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's not till you buy the DVD box set.
Or the Wibbly Wobbly. Okay.
The gags in first.
That's it. Yeah. You've been listening to all our gags.
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. It's like a bit old, I suppose.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm not sure about the title. I mean,
maybe you could have Jimmy Nesbitt's face coming down.
Oh, here we go. Why don't I just give my address that people can come around and burn me? Right.
They'll come around and love you.
Yes, I'm sure. That would actually be worse.
We've just been warned the Sun tomorrow is running a story. We're filming this before transmission, recording this before transmission. Sun's running a story on the Scooby-Doo monsters.
Scooby-Doo monsters?
Skeletons in spacesuits.
Did they have that Scooby-Doo?
No, but in the Sun's version, other newspapers are available. It's saying.
And indeed preferable.
I think very rude of him. Are you all right?
Yeah, no, I'm just coughing away, don't worry.
No, David's actually choking him. Faithful viewer, I can't stop the violence. It's just terrifying. What goes on in your mind, Stephen Moffat? How did you come up with all this?
I can't remember. I just keep saying that. It's rubbish, isn't it?
Where do you get your ideas from?
Okay, this was my...
How'd you learn your lines?
Oh, that's right. How'd you know all that stuff? Are you Scottish? There we go. I think it was on the theory that... broadly speaking, that episode two of a two-parter of Doctor Who should start somewhere else somehow. Because you know that thing, I'm sure you've picked up on it too, because you changed after... It's like Aliens in London, World War III and Empty Child and Doctor Dances. You sort of feel, a week later, even though it's a perfectly legitimate continuation, that they've been mucking about in that room for a while. Just think, oh, God, there's gas mask people still after you.
Yes.
Sure, get over it, move on. So I think somehow episode two of a two-parter should have moved on a bit. You should should come in at a fresh angle or something.
When you very first spoke to me about the story, it was a little boy.
Yeah.
When did that change?
I can't remember. Here we go again. why was
what you should do is write it all down in email form and then publish a book.
What a brilliant idea, Russell.
Marvellous.
Yeah.
I think a producer...
It's an all right idea. Other emails are available.
Yeah.
No, why did it change? Was it just...
I whim, probably. Yeah. There was some reason, and if I keep talking, it'll come back to me.
There's something sadder about a little girl, so it's more vulnerable and innocent somehow.
It probably was. I think it's, but it might have been because the decision about the parent, I think it was... I thought I wanted it to be a dad, and with a dad, I think I wanted it to be a daughter. I think it was that, you know, just that.
Yes.
A concerned and slightly useless dad, because dads are slightly useless. Sitting in the background.
And when you read this, David, did you... It's funny because we're quite science fiction literate. You know, I watch this sometimes thinking, you know, when I try and watch something fresh, I think, what would I think is going on? And then I think, what my sister think is going on? Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have a clue about it all. So did you think that she was real or she was dreaming?
I don't remember, actually, what...
I still don't know it.
Thank you. Oh, it's starting now. All right.
Can you explain that bad wolf thing to me again?
I am the past.
Actually, I understand Bad Wolf perfectly. Can I just say
that's the same wedding dress that Catherine wore in The Runaway Bride?
Yes. Yeah.
Fact fans,
because obviously we didn't go to the expense of running up a new one.
That saved a couple hundred quid.
No, it's because it's what she would have imagined.
Yes, it is. That's right.
Cyberspatial world. It's accurate and beautiful. Yeah. And brilliant. Mm. It's like, so, Stephen, it's like, never mind, since the news go out, has your life gone balmy?
Do you know, on the day, it did a bit. I got lots and lots of emails and texts, and I stopped answering the phone a bit. Wait, I mean, that sounds
David,
like,
you must leave him alone.
Stop it. I just emailed my CV over.
Oh, was that yours?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't that bad. It was slightly strange. I did sort of think, I've not become mayor, you know.
If only.
Yeah, but
then I got an email at the end of the day from you saying, "Has your life gone mad? I've had two emails and two texts."
That was it.
No,
that was it.
The transfer.
And I walked into BBC World the next day, and the security guard goes, "Oh, see you then." Sitting there going, "I'm here in a year's time."
Wow,
it's funny.
Yeah, yeah, it's
a bit weird, is it, making the news though? It's just wrong, yeah, and bizarre and
weird. And
I sort of think, to be serious, I sort of think it's marvellous that we're in a situation where writers can make news in that way.
Yeah.
Because pop stars do and television presenters and actors do. And I think...
It's the show, though, isn't it? I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
It's writers
do
it. Who, you know,
but I think if you're 8 years old and you want to be a writer, I thought you just see writers being talked
about.
Yeah,
that is a good thing.
Yeah.
Is definitely. Actually...
Because they'll look at us and think, yes, one day we could be like those men. It's okay, okay. We're rubbish at football.
It is.
And everyone hates us. One day we'll have revenge. Like taking over a genre programme that we should have outgrown about 30 years ago.
It is an extraordinary turn of events, though, isn't it? That when season 5 comes to air, which isn't, let's face it, for a really long time
yet.
Yeah.
I know,
it's mad.
But there will be articles written about how it's changed and sort of...
I think it'll be like time for Moffat to go. I've been for so long.
Well, I've started that website. Moffat, let's go, doctor. There will be some of them.
I know.
Oh, lordy God.
Oh, the backlash has begun.
It's funny. Well, yeah. I knew nothing about it. I walked in to find my desk in the car park. Stephen who?
On fire.
What? On fire.
As pieces of news go, because, you know, we've all been involved in this show for a few years now on some level, and holding on to bits of news till we want to release them is an ongoing difficulty, isn't it? As bits of news go, did you want to hold on to this one longer?
Well, there was a problem. If we'd released it before Series 4 came out, then everyone immediately think that, not that anyone would care, but I mean, that I was doing Series 4.
You'd blame.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to try and explain that to someone who writes The Sun, you know. No, we have to make the programme in advance in a big shed for about a year.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they would never understand that forever. So we didn't do that, but there was, at the same time, it was a relief when it came out because... Everybody knew. It was embarrassing.
Mm. Right.
It was in the middle of the biggest private joke ever. Everyone was smirking and going,
So
I was the only person who wasn't allowed to say it by the end.
It was, because industry-wise, it was becoming the worst secret in the world. Not quite, and there was still a lot of people who didn't know, but it was just, it was spreading naturally.
Yeah.
Because why should it be secret? So it just felt like time in the end.
Yeah,
it
did,
like,
yeah.
And you just won the BAFTA, and it was like... And
I was going to mention that later, but thanks for getting it. A list of my awards is available. I love that music cue when she whispers in his ear. So it's just to bring us boringly back to the show.
No, beautiful.
But when she whispers in his ear and it's like that, no, I think that's fantastic. It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
And I have to say, David, just to butter you up, as it were, I think your performance in this is astonishing. I think the two bits that are brilliant is this, where you're just flung back to being a man. You know, you're just a sort of an ordinary bloke for a minute. And this bit here, where you shoulder the doctor again.
Put the mask back on. I love that bit. You see how much the doctor is.
It's his pose, Well, that's the interesting thing about the doctor, isn't it? What is it that's special about him? In terms of writing him, he's not faster or stronger. Actually, he can regenerate, which is pretty cool, but not all the time, you know. But beyond that, and he's super clever, but actually the people he's up against are super clever, so it's not that thing. I think he's just got this, it's almost the power of the greatest gob in the universe. He can sort of talk his way confidently past anybody.
And which he slightly abuses there because he's been slightly undermined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He shouts too loudly and he's a bit nasty to Uti. Yeah, it's good.
Yes, but they're all they're all confident in him. No,
yeah.
He's saying, I mean, he's a bit mean, but he's saying, no, there's part of a little bit of him that's kind of almost a charlatan. You know, he's in a good cause, but you know, he poses, doesn't he? I mean, he makes it seem like he's this godlike creature. And he kind of, really, there's just a bloke under
there. Oh, he's not, absolutely. No,
which I think makes him great fun to write. Ah, and there's River with a slightly better sonic screwdriver.
It's a lovely performance of Jessica.
Though. Isn't she great?
Yeah, she's really great.
They're a well-cast crew, aren't
they? Brand new at a drama school, Jessica.
Is she?
Really?
Terrific.
Is this like a new job, or her first job? Or?
I think it was maybe her second, but
really?
Because
I can't remember, we went to America, we went to a mix of accents, didn't we, like, in the future.
She trained in Scotland.
That's right. She's
the Royal Scottish Academy in Scotland, which is currently in the middle of a funding crisis. To your member of Scottish Parliament. Tell them to get their chequebook out. But, because otherwise you wouldn't have lovely new actresses like Jessica appearing on the scene.
But she's not actually Scottish.
That's where I went, yes.
You went?
Yes. She's not actually Scottish, but, you know, it's a world-class
But she is she American? Is that...
Yes, she is. Yes. Yeah.
It's a funny old path.
Yeah. But she still loves
him. Who turned her down to the end of there, then? She's good, though. Yeah, she's now, what apart from actor, she now doesn't get seen.
Yeah. Sorry, but that is a bit rubbish of me, wasn't it?
She does turn up on the lawn the suit at the end. For the rest of the time. Yeah.
And, she gets her big emotional scenes later with her face blanked.
Yes.
While intercutting with Miss Evangelista, who has exactly the same problem. Mistakes I have made.
The little girls. I think these kids give a great performance. They're so sweet. It is that Mr. Eros Lynn, director, who is...
Oh, just... You can never sing his praises loudly enough.
No. I think especially with actors as well. Well, he's good at everything, but...
Yeah. Everybody loves Eros. Absolutely loves him. And he is the calmest sort of... most impressive presence on set. Never loses his composure, he always knows what he's after and will be fastidious about it as well. Well, if he needs to, he'll do 22 takes, you know.
Yeah.
But never feels like you're flogging a dead horse. He's just...
None of that shouting.
He's always so nice. Mm. And yet at night, he goes down the naughty hellfire club. The reality of Eros when he emerges, fanged and dreadful. Full of hideous appetites.
I'm glad to see he's managed to be chained to Upper Boat for the foreseeable future.
Yes.
Are we allowed to announce that?
Probably not, but let's just skip over it now. But a lot of work from Eros Lynn in
the future. All David meant there was there was a sort of bondage thing going on, so
it's fine. It's fine by me. Why do you think now about... why the Victorian melodrama, gothic-y? See, we make these shows. I never ask you this at the time. I just go, oh, how marvellous. That'll look brilliant. And it does. And of course, Lou Page does it. And it's funny, I never actually sit there and say, why did you choose that? Because it's brilliant and it works.
Mainly because it looks eerie.
Yes.
But also, I was kind of thinking, well, what would you know, in this world, which is really conditioned by what you want and what you think, that would be sort of, you know, if you imagined yourself as I often do, as a veiled lady, you probably would go kind of like that, wouldn't you? You'd go...
Yes.
I mean, it's almost the first thing you reach for in your head, or it wasn't mine. So
yeah, but Miss Evangelista has... That's not Donna's version of Miss Evangelista, because she's managed to infiltrate herself into Donna's reality, hasn't she?
Yes. Which nobody else can do. She's wandering around the data core, because she's super bright. Super bright, but ugly.
It's a
everything about
moment
what
she
that's really frightening.
When she takes that thing off her head.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And how did you? When did you think? My favourite thing is these two episodes, like all your stories, are so full of ideas. If I had to pick a favourite, my favourite idea, which you're often asked to do in talking head shows, what's your favourite idea? Is this cutting notion that as the scene cuts, her life is really cut. This is terrible. Well, this is like asking where'd you get your ideas from.
It's a practical thing, isn't it? I was writing that sequence and I wrote a version of it. And I thought, this is quite sweet and Richard Curtis and nice, but it doesn't... I'm be waiting for Doctor Who to turn up. I'm not actually the Doctor himself necessarily, but the feeling of this being Doctor Who. Yeah. So you need something funky and different to say, no, don't worry, this is sci-fi, or this is fantasy, or this is, you know, the
whatever
magical world of the
Doctor.
And then that idea was just... Because I was doing the fast-cutting thing, but normally I just thought, well, that's just would be great if somebody just noticed the cut. You know, saying, oh, that's a bit old.
I think it's... Yeah. So clever. I mean, it's staggering.
But I think also I had I used to watch when I was a kid and no girls liked me. I used to think it was really difficult, you know, because in movies a man would go into a bar and say hi. Cut to what I was dreaming of, and I thought, well, how'd you join that up? I mean, give me a hint. Do you just cut? Is that what happens? You say hello to a woman and suddenly, what, hey? Is there an intervening moment of conversation? And if there is, can I have a copy?
Yeah.
And can I skip it?
Yes. But if the cut is available, I'm going for it. It is, and it's called alcohol. But never mind that, kids.
And also, are you bringing back the Naimon?
The Naimon, definitely. I think that's no question. I think Santarin Rutan's okay, but the Naimon Bandrel War was.
I want to see the Vuard again.
Do you?
Yeah. Yartek, leader of the Alien Vuard. Yeah.
Only because. Yes.
Did they ever work?
Well, who knows?
Have you sat through the Keys of Marinus?
Oh, not for a long time. It's just men. It's just.
Hard.
It's just men in wetsuits, isn't it? With flippers on.
Yeah. With a prong.
That defines
the
72% of Doctor Who's output. it's not the greatest, but it has its merits.
Oh, it's still better than anything
listen
else
to
ever
me.
Made on television.
Sure,
oh,
yes,
come on.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, we do slag off as old Doctor Who goes because we're fans.
No.
And that's how you be a fan. We all know that. We sit around and you've seen them 28 times before, so you have a laugh. But, you know, if you really want to look at those old shows, go and look at Zed Cars.
Yes.
Couldn't do a convincing car. I mean, come on, a doctor who's trying to do the Vuard. And they came to work in a car. And they had one outside. Why couldn't they do a proper one?
They put it in the title.
Yes. It's rubbish. I'm...
But they had to do everything inside in those days, didn't they? They weren't allowed out.
But
too expensive.
Couldn't afford it, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, still like that. It's still quite easy to do a car compared to Yartek, leader of the Alien Vuard.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they tried. God bless.
Yeah,
they
did
it.
Inside too.
Yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, here we are 45 years later saying Yartek of the Alien Vuard. And there's a lot of people listening to this who know what we're on about.
Yeah.
That is very funny and brilliant. Yeah. I think it's so precious, that, actually. I think it's gorgeous.
As I believe I once said, I'll quote it again because I think it was quite clever. It's not that you can see the strings, it's that 40 years later you're still looking at them.
Very good.
There you go.
That's my very good.
Yay.
Yeah. And, you know, compared to a lot of the workaday television at the time, Doctor Who was always entertaining.
Yes.
Was always inventive. And now and then he'd really pull it off in a spectacular way.
So
now, it's not just that we've got surely more money. Well, we've got more money. But it's that the technology is now exists to make a show like this reasonably inexpensively.
Yes.
Which did not exist back then.
Yeah.
It was just ambition and really a kind of very obvious dependence on theatrical technique in a way.
Do you think in 45 years this will look as I don't know what the word is,
brilliant,
as hand knitted, as Yartek Alien leader of the Alien Vuard now looks?
I suppose it must do, mustn't it?
It just inevitably.
Well, that's hard because it's on a sliding scale, because Yartek at the time was cheap.
Yeah.
Was this the day, although this isn't cinema. You know, movie standard. It's not cheap, but it is well done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to put that on a sliding. It's like actually when you watch old Star Treks now, done on film, and like they still look quite good with the old Enterprise effects. You think they're still quite decent.
I think it will look slightly more homespun, but then I think Doctor Who always does.
Mm.
I think that's actually one of its strengths is, well, it looks great now. It always has a slight feeling of, I don't know, domestically scaled menace somehow.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It gets into your living room, you know, which actually makes it a much more involving experience to watch. Yes,
like that image of all the children in the playground being the same, which is... A cheap shot for us.
Yeah.
Cheap bit of composition.
But think how much of
yes, she is.
But think how much of Doctor Who's narrative style evolved in response to limitations. You know, it's Doctor Who does take place. There are a lot of basically rooms full of people standing urgently.
and that's still happening, isn't it? I mean,
we
often talk in commentaries like this. The huge scene of 14 million Daleks descending from the sky was cut to. Somebody on the telephone. But it's still.
And you're standing urgently. I mean, all these scenes are in one room. It's funny how.
Yes, this room, we were in this room for over a week.
A long time.
Long, long time. There was a card school going on outside.
You're visible and confidential.
Oh, yeah, really?
Your card table, yes.
Really?
Yes, you're seen winning with great grace.
I'm seen winning.
Other behind the scenes programmes are available.
I'm glad I'm seen winning because. there was a scoreboard, but yeah. Catherine Tate would have you believe other than what
you
the
actually
scoreboard
see the scoreboard.
Yeah,
in combination, yeah, yeah. Catherine Tate is ahead of you.
Well, that was a
it's
moment
live.
In time.
Yeah. There's no CGI. Right. Yeah. There's like nothing.
I wouldn't be surprised if Catherine Tate had supplied some CGI budget.
Frank,
just
to watch this combination, going do some work.
Get back into that. Well, actually, the girl comes up and says, "Get through there," and it's nearly finished. So everything you need to know.
It's terrible.
Well, it's very rare that we're in one place for such a long time. Mm. And indeed, it was one place that just outside this room, there was a huge big space.
Boom reflected in the mirror there.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they won't have that in 45 years' time.
And yet that's what we love.
Yeah.
We've been going, how homespun is it? Mm. It is funny. And it will look dated in the future. It's like, but the funny thing is, it's like...
It's pace that dates more than anything. I don't know how it always happens, but...
But it should, you know, it's like this is a version of the 51st century made in 2008.
Of course. Yeah.
And things should date. That was that fear of like, oh, will it look dated? You know, it's quite a fan sort of thing. Yeah. That. Oh, it'll look dated in the future, if you refer to Big Brother. Oh, that'll date in the future. How marvellous.
Yeah.
What, are you not going to? Everything will. It's like, that's the way of the world. Yeah. No one has ever made anything ever that doesn't date. Ever.
Mm. Well, actually,
and it's glorious.
The more relevant you are to the moment you're being broadcast in, the more dated you're going to be.
Yes.
And I think it's like Original Star, you mentioned a few minutes ago. For a while that looked like the most cutting edge thing on television. Mm. Then it looked impossibly dated, and then it just became old.
Yes.
You know, and now it's just old and rather wonderful.
Yeah. So it sort of comes through the other side and becomes...
I'm waiting for some of my shows to get out the other side.
I think
Press
Doctor,
Gang, you can do it.
I do think Old Doctor Who has a problem with that I think is such a shame, because... The fact that they were made on tape, if those 60s ones had been made on film, they would have been repeated now in the way that you can repeat Man in a Suitcase and The Prison and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There is actually a gloss to film, and I feel sad for Doctor Who sometimes. That people won't get beyond the superficial image.
And there's a pacing thing. It was at a more relaxed pace. You know, you'd have to edit them down. Which you could do.
I wonder if someone should do that.
Something as perfect, I know we rave on all the time, but as perfect as The Ark in Space, which is just about the perfect science fiction script. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
You could take it now and do it for Doctor Who with the current cast, with about an afternoon of tweaking it. It's so good. But, you know, if you're going to stare at the bubble wrap, then you're lost.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd love to be able to get in there and and make it shine the way it
deserves. It's funny because the opening of this story last week reminds me of The Ark in Space, because the Doctor and Donna are alone for like 12 minutes at the top of this, and I love that.
Mm.
It's the longest they're ever together without anyone.
It's very old school, that, isn't it? Just to have.
But it's episode one of The Ark in Space, the whole episode like that, which is brilliant.
Well, and it allowed, I mean, I was obviously influenced by it because it's one of my favourites, but it allows the setting to be the star for a little while.
Yeah.
You know, because if the monsters turn up and the other characters turn up, they become what it's about. If you if you actually wander around the Ark or the library, that's the star for a few minutes.
That's
and that's interesting.
Brilliant.
At last, the explanation. Hooray.
I suppose there are always things as well that you can never know, like whether emails will still be around in 45 years' time or whether we'll be...
I've worked all this out in my head.
Have you?
It's the translation circuits just working on you. Or whatever.
So
he just speaks whatever language he chooses
to
in that second, and people hear it as what they should hear.
But
so we in the audience hear something.
So it's having
different.
To be interpreted for a 2008 audience.
So
is
what they heard him say was actually in their language.
But TARDIS put that through a Donna paradigm as well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Know that, David?
No, I knew that. It's for the benefit of our listeners.
Yes.
The faithful viewer sitting at home.
I've been dieting, that's my favourite line.
Do you know, that line was how I couldn't work out how to write these scenes until I thought of the line, but I've been dieting.
Right.
Okay, I've got that.
Right.
Otherwise, it's going to be sci-fi explanation for three pages. But I think can get all the way to... Because that's what I think.
It's so Donna, isn't it? I know.
Really? Well, sod the gym, then.
And she's invented a nice husband, which she could have invented.
Mm.
Look at the fun you could have had in a parallel.
Yes,
you
know, I know. If you knew it wasn't real.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Let's not go there.
Yes, absolutely.
Let's move on, quickly.
You can see them all huddling around the monitor going, don't let it blow that veil up any further.
Lovely, though, isn't it?
Just right. Chin.
Nice little cut there from which isn't in the script at all. It's when she says, I am brilliant and unloved, and you cut to the little girl crying.
Oh.
And it gives another layer, which is... Eros.
Nice Eros.
And the lovely Crispin Green, our editor on this.
Of course.
I'm on a campaign to praise our... Oh, there's my phone. I'll just turn it off, shall I?
Who is it
again? Shall I see
who it is? Yeah, see who it is.
Never mind. Anyway, Crispin Green edited this.
See, once you're executive producer, your phone will ring that much. Yeah. Well.
He's going to sack me now. That's terrible.
Who is it?
Oh, my friend Steve. I like him. But anyway, never
mind. He's got nothing to add to this commentary.
Nothing.
So he doesn't,
he's never been in a cyberspatial gazebo.
No.
Ever.
Ah, yes, all the space and time to choose off, and you get Cardiff in the rain. now what kid wouldn't want to be able to do this to their dad? There you go.
Brilliant.
But then she regrets it.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, you would. Yes. Switch your dad off, you'd be very... But, you know, there are moments when we'd all want to switch our dads off.
Because originally she destroyed the remote at that point, didn't she?
Do you know, this is a cut we made. It was originally, you see, it's actually filmed and stamps on it and it sets off the alarms.
Yes.
And then it was cut, you know, while we were timing, and we should have kept that in. She should have stamped it.
Oh, it's knackered there.
Yes.
And that's...
But no, it was also cut because Julie was worried that she destroys it. She destroys it, but then she used it to turn off Dr. Moon.
So yes, but it was still working a little bit, you know. I mean, also, it's not really a remote. It's an interior computer metaphor for a remote, as I'm sure you were about to say.
Yes, indeed.
Steve Pemberton.
Brilliant. What about him? What about him?
I just feel like we haven't mentioned that he's here.
Yeah, will he turn up and do a podcast? No, he won't.
No, he won't.
So he's finished.
He's finished in his industry.
Faithful viewer, he was meant to be here.
He was meant to be here.
So... Because we've got me.
Hello.
I'm Steve Pemberton.
No, I'm Steve Pemberton.
Well, you're Steve Pemberton.
Yeah.
Marvellous.
No, I'm Steve Pemberton.
I can't believe the Doctor was the last choice for a podcast. What happened there?
Well, I was here doing some other ones. It just means I don't get to have a cup of tea for 45 minutes.
We're doing a lot of them today.
Yeah.
We're rattling through.
But yeah, the second member of the League of Gentlemen to appear in Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
After Mark Gatiss. We just need to get Rhys Shearsmith in now to make up a set.
I love him. I love Steve, though.
Yeah, he's great.
I love Benidorm. That makes me laugh. I love that shot. Hero of science fiction. Don't tell me that'll date. Look at it.
No.
Isn't that what you want the future to be like? That's it.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you know, that was really quite scary. That disc was up quite high on the green screen set. Mm. And they had to remove everything that was round it.
Of
if you
course.
Look, we're all quite near the edge.
Yeah.
To get the crane passing us for that very short there.
That was allowed.
It was touch and go, I think. I think the health and safety people were watching very beadily.
There has to be a rail.
And we had to be terribly still. We weren't allowed to do any movement on the disc. But there was a scene there as well, which is cut now, isn't it?
Yes, there was a little bit of dialogue.
Yes.
Which was just a bit boring. Sorry, everyone.
On the very first edit, that shot, the whole gravity platform was cut.
That's
remember?
Right. And yes, I...
So you only saw it when the Doctor dives down.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. You had to see the...
Yeah,
to
see it. Yeah. Yes, there was a little scene... Doesn't this thing go any faster, I think I said.
Right.
And then, while we're waiting, tell me what Cal is. And he said he found another reason not to tell me what Cal was.
Yeah. Okay, no. I admit it wasn't a triumph.
No!
All right, let's bring it up now.
You be careful, Lieutenant. You be careful.
Just because you're all grumpy standing on your scary green platform.
This scene is just a mess. Look at her performance. The idea behind this, Stephen, it's just... It's phenomenal. It's terrifying. Look at her.
It's my Catherine parental Tate. Terrors, you see.
But wow. So brilliantly fulfilled by Catherine Tate.
She's astonishing. Absolutely astonishing.
She is astonishing.
Yeah.
It's just like, brilliant.
Yeah.
She just makes it so
It's just
real.
Saturday night entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah. Bundle laughs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. Marvelous. It's good this.
Doesn't matter, they weren't real.
That's right. Pull yourself together.
Like every other fictional character.
That's right. Yes. They were even more not real than the rest.
Are we in some godforsaken factory now? Are we in Mamelad?
I think we were in Mamelad for that little bit, yeah.
For this bit, for the core. What's it called?
But in a different bit of Mamelad than we've ever been before.
No, it looks
Mamelad
new
being,
to me.
Being this factory that we use for all sorts of stuff in Doctor Who. We're there every second week, it seems. And this was a whole other outbuilding that we'd never been in before.
Yes. Looks good.
Do you know... That wasn't Mamelad.
Oh.
That was the Alcoa EMP.
It was Alcoa?
That's what that was. That's why it looks so different.
Oh, they just caught you out there in a car and put you in the trailer.
It smelt the same. That's why I'm thinking it was Mamelad, but that wasn't.
We actually do have a list in front of us, faithful viewer. David wasn't just channeling.
That looked like I just thought...
Oh, no, it really wasn't good acting at all.
Downloading.
It's because I had to lean over.
No, wait, it's coming to me.
It was like God was telling me.
No, my son, you were an uncle.
Poor little girl, look at cow.
She loved that. I saw her walking about with her head in that big thing. Because you got the prosthetics sort of put that thing on your head, the disc, and then the rest of it's it put into place by green screen.
So did she walk around with
that? She was walking around with that. She was loving it.
Well, that's what you want to be if you're getting Doctor Who. You want to be wearing a big rubber mask.
Of course,
And turn out to be the mad genius at the heart of it all.
Because you originally wrote them as like the nodes were like African statues. That's why they've still got that height and that twistiness. Do you wish they still had? Because sometimes I wonder.
Do you know what?
Why
I've got a slight thing. I'll tell you, my it's a tiny thing is I think they're too bulky.
Yeah.
Even though there isn't, you know, you couldn't put a person in there, there's just the pole. But it would, I think, more of an impact if it was just the back of a spoon, you know, and there was a sort of thin, frail kind you can see through it.
Right.
You think there's definitely not a person in there. We've sort of put a person in the circumstance where you think you could just about conceal one.
Yeah.
If
they
had a very long and rather thin neck.
Fairness,
but.
Yeah.
But,
Yes, I know what you mean. I sometimes wonder what the colour would have been like, that dark African mahogany, which we talked ourselves out of in a funny way, and I think. And now I think, why do we do that? Sometimes we talk about things too much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you do that in writing too as well, don't you?
Yeah, that's true. This speech is beautiful. He does it beautifully.
Mm, he does.
Well, this is where actually, you know, we can now talk about Stephen in a way, because this is where he's, up until now, he's been playing the part you'd expect Steve Pemberton to play, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, the sort of baddie, irritable guy. And now he turns out actually to be just a little bit grumpy and actually rather principled.
Yeah.
And slightly irritated by the Doctor. Who, let's be honest, could irritate you
if you're on a
serious work setting.
Especially when he's paying for it all.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's paying for all this. I'd be living.
Yes, that's right. Turned up, you break into the planet and there's a guy in a suit saying, "Hi." Love your space suit. Is it comfy?
Oh, fine.
There we go. Exposition done.
Hooray. Beautiful exposition, though. How fun is the Alex Kingston running around Alcoa? When I was 15, I did a project in Alcoa in school.
What is it?
Mm. Aluminium factory.
I knew that.
Yes.
Mm. He's reading that off a sheet, people.
Yeah.
We're heading towards the terrible climax now.
Yes. One of several.
So who is River Song, Stephen?
Oh. The Doctor's mum. Last revealed. Well, who knows? Well,
how is Alex Kingston's availability for 2009?
Extensive.
Do you think we'll see her again?
Yeah, I could do.
What's the time travelling story? It's like the time traveller's wife, isn't it? It's like
she
can crop up anywhere at any time. It's beautiful. We're laughing in here because actually none of us likes this. Is true. None of us likes to pin down exactly who she is because as a production team, if you say who she is,
of course,
you spoil it.
And the script doesn't. I mean, particularly the script doesn't.
And
she does that. I was just saying that on a conversation with you earlier that I always hate even because not that our words have enormous power, but actually within fandom and stuff like that, it gets written down and repeated a thousand times. And I'm always really wary of even ascribing an adjective to the Doctor, the Tenth Doctor, or the Ninth. It's like. You know, because I think the moment I say, "Oh, that's the jittery Doctor,"
right?
It's the Bohemian and the Dandy and the Clown and the
Cosmic
Jittery
Hobo.
One. Yes, and you sort of think I mustn't say it.
Well, do you know? I mean, to be utterly traitorous here in a way to the show.
Oh,
there's
jittery.
A moment at which Patrick Troughton comes back to the part of the Doctor for the Three Doctors, and he doesn't play the same Doctor quite. I love the Three Doctors, but he doesn't. He does an exaggerated version. He does the little tramp Doctor. But if you look at the Doctor, Patrick Troughton as the Doctor in black and white, he's actually quite serious.
Yes.
He's actually quite frightening.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's become the caricature Doctor precisely because there are two of them.
Or was it written like that? I wonder if it's a bit
I think
of
both. it's a bit both, but I think
that's
it's
probably him playing off the fact that there's another Doctor
I think it starts the process of defining them as different. And obviously, the real challenge of switching Doctors around is, frankly, saying it's the same man. It's the same man looking through those eyes. And he's looking the other way. It doesn't make that big of a difference.
So my drama teacher used to call playing the result.
Yes.
That's very true.
And that's true of so many things in life, actually. Mm-hmm. And writing and acting is like...
But I suspect Patrick Troughton was such a consummate actor that he did that because... he realised where he sat within You'd have to do it because
if he actually played it the way he played it before, it would just be two men playing the Doctor.
Exactly,
they're just playing the Doctor. And once the serious stuff hits, the Doctors are, you know, they're the same man. They might
possibly
make the jokes.
A magnificent piece of upstaging.
Yes,
possibly.
It really is.
It's like, wow.
You wouldn't want to be up. Right. Yeah, he's brilliant. Right, I have to say. And he sort of invents how to play the Doctor in a way.
How much do we argue in the edit now about whether your leg could reach the sonic screwdriver?
Yes.
But you solved it brilliantly with that shadow.
I know it couldn't, but it doesn't look like it couldn't.
Really?
See, that's why
I tried.
We removed it from the shot, because originally in the wider shot of you handcuffed to the pillar, the sonic screwdriver is in shot.
Ah.
And from this perspective, from this angle, Catherine Tate just walked in outside.
Hooray!
On this angle, it absolutely looked as though you could reach it with your foot.
Yeah.
So we removed it.
And in fact, you can see in the other shot, the reverse, you can.
Yes.
That is the one where it's
in that shot there, it's removed. You see,
I see.
And isn't watching that shot, you just can't believe that your leg couldn't reach out and grab it.
Did you remove it digitally?
Yes.
Wow.
No, I snuck in on the day.
Yeah. I'm now wondering if we shot it twice.
No, sometimes
you do things
just
like that. You shoot
an easy little bit of smudging at the bottom. Smudging, that's a technical term.
That's right, smudging. We smudged it with the smudger 4000.
She plays this really.
Look at us talking about sonic screwdrivers as Alex Kingston dies.
I know.
Well, I mares.
Yes, we're just like men talking about technology.
And what a scene. How beautiful. How sad. And you're handcuffed to a post. Your best acting, handcuffed to a post.
You must have been down there for quite a while.
It was quite uncomfortable eventually, I seem to remember.
And the music's beautiful here.
Yeah.
Oh. Poor Lee.
Poor old Lee, yes.
We're starting to watch it now.
Stop it. We're getting excited, we're getting drawn in.
Would you allow that scene on your chart? I wouldn't. I'd like do it all again.
Hmm?
Make us do the whole podcast again.
Yeah, well, this isn't my era. I don't care.
Your era.
So, Russell, seeing as you knew, because we've all known for a while now that Stephen was going to be the new boss.
Yeah.
No, Russell was the last one.
I did.
I had to.
My desk was in the car park.
I phoned him up and said, "Russell, okay, you don't."
Did you think? Oh, I'd better not give him any notes on this script.
No, cheap thing.
As if. You'll still be giving me notes 3 years from now. Hello, it's Russell. You don't work in the show.
I have to interrupt your hilarity.
Get back in the car park.
I have to interrupt your hilarity at this point to say this room, in this hall, the Branwen Hall, this is where I met Princess Diana.
Did you?
I met Princess Diana in this room when I was 18 years old. She was on the inaugural tour of Wales. That hall there. And there was a great big concert of the Swansea Youth Orchestra and Youth Choir and blah, blah. And I, the Youth Dance Company, gave a performance of Raphael Williams' Job, and I was God. I played God.
In the Youth Dance Company?
In the Youth Dance Company. And then when she went along the line shaking everyone's hands, she turned to me and she went, "Oh, it's God."
She hadn't seen the performance, though. You're just what she thinks God looks like.
Exactly.
Is this the real source of your atheism? You don't think anyone else has been as good at it?
I had a tabard. I had everything.
A long white beard?
No.
You're a more modern god.
On our curtain call, I thought, well, I'm never going to see her, am I? So I put my glasses on for the curtain call. And she went, when she met me, she went, "Oh, it's God." And she said, "I saw you put your glasses on for the curtain call."
She was glued. She was glued.
She couldn't take her
eyes
in that hall.
Yeah.
So never mind the tragedy of River Song. That's livened the whole thing up for me. That's what it's all about.
Right, can we rewind this now? I look forward to this retake. Oh, look, he's still on. It's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
That's my mind, isn't it?
There's a little cut here, isn't there?
Nope.
Wasn't that the bit where Lux and I had a little kind of standoff?
Yes. Later on. Yes. Not in this scene.
I mean, coming up. Yes,
steps.
I mean...
But you know, it was me, actually. I just felt we were having too many downers in a row.
Right.
And it was just... Because it was a slightly... It was a little hard scene. You know,
this is sad. This bit's sad.
I know.
And Steve had really sort of done his redemption bit, his joy at seeing everybody back, and to sort of send him back into being sort of grumpy and bitter.
Yes.
Wasn't
here.
Nice.
It was just in here, yeah. And
it really, it was just, there was, it was like the episode was ending with downer after downer. Now, I know redemption is about to come, but I just thought, oh, God, get on with it. So he was shoved off. And his last moment is just his pure joy at seeing everybody alive, which makes him nice.
It is nice. In your first draft, Lee, who we just saw disappearing then with Stammer and his stutter, and I loved this, and I was the only person who loved this, in the first draft of your script, Lee in the real world was a stuttering, stammering, overweight girl.
That's right. Yeah,
I loved was. That. Just suddenly stood up to this girl in the teleport going... Everyone else laughed us out of the room, didn't they, Stephen?
Really? Well, it was, you loved it, I loved it, Helen loved it, but people with less refined sensibilities and
a less
clear grasp, yes. They're all gone.
They won't have a job come 2009.
I tell you.
But we could see what they meant, actually.
Yeah, at the same time, there was just something because.
Is the stammer the only thing you had to link her, him?
Yes.
Right.
So, in other words, Faithful Viewer, the overweight girl in the fantasy world was a man called Lee.
Yeah.
She imagined herself as that.
I also hadn't done enough of absolutely saying that you could look different in there. That was the other problem.
If anything, I think. Because the reason why I didn't defend it to the hilt in the end was that it was such a huge and brilliant idea. It actually distracted from the sadness of what was going on. I think that was the problem. Yeah. You actually want to go, oh, poor Donna.
But there's an awful lot of story beats here, and you actually want them to be quite simple.
It was almost too big a concept, really. Yeah. It was like so.
It was like that's a story in itself.
Yeah, you know, beautiful, though. Oh, I remember the first time reading that. I'm like, oh, God, I loved it. So in my mind, that's still what happened. There we go.
Yes, there you go.
Right, now
the
surprise happy ending, hooray!
Hooray, yes. Just when you thought I might have killed somebody.
Stephen Moffat, faithfully, has still not killed anyone apart from, of old age.
Yes, yeah, right.
Natural
causes.
On screen.
Yes, I also haven't... No, hang on, I haven't killed anyone in real life either. Can we clarify that?
I've read
Has nobody died in any of your Doctor Who scripts?
No, isn't that amazing?
Six episodes, no one's dead.
They all get Nana Jean back.
Madame Pomodoro dies.
Old Billy dies of old age.
Old age. And stocks Raynette my episodes.
But... Real life.
Yeah.
She died.
Yeah.
So it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the most bloodthirsty show on television.
Well, you're not going to keep. You'll be able to keep that up for 13 weeks.
Don't
answer.
You know?
Do you know? I'm just thinking of the plot of the first one. I promise faithfully to kill people, and I specify I really, really do mean in Doctor Who, not in reality.
Do you know what a charge you just sent through podcast land then? I'm just thinking of the plot of the first one.
Yeah.
People just hair just stood up like cartoons with like zigzags of electricity around them. It's like, me too. Anyway.
Oh, the tragedy.
Oh, no, stop.
That's not actually, it's not.
Stop!
Well, you see. No, listen.
Now this
you'll never be in your house again. In your house.
You'll never be in your house. So your house is
now
your house.
Are you planting I'm actually doing that
right now. Oh. It started.
So houses are on.
Stop it. You'll never get it. You'll never get it.
And you've got to wait 2 years to see it.
What I think is really great is as the doctor was pounding down those corridors, he was designing a new cosy for Riversong. And he was thinking, I want something sexy but classy. Maybe a bit of cleavage. And here's the rest of them.
Look at them. They look like a Gap advert.
They're like Boney M.
Other high street
Boney M.
stores are available.
I think they're singing by the Rivers of Babylon. Hooray. Ma Baker, she knew how to die.
When we were all in the hotel in Swansea one night, all of us went down to the bar to do the pub quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And our team was named River Song and the Ripples.
Oh,
and that's kind of what they look like there.
Yeah, it is. River Song and the Ripples. Yeah.
And did you win?
Second. Became second.
Of two? Or?
No, there was a lot. And it was blooming hard as well.
This is the hall in which I met Princess Diana. Have I told you about this?
Yeah. This is the sound of me standing in Russell's
then
neck.
She said, this is the best bit. What are you going to do in life? And I went, I was 18. I went, I don't know. And she went, dance, dance, dance.
Really?
I was recommended by the Princess of Wales. Dance for a career.
How was your dancing?
The fantastic, honestly. You should have
is that dancing in the Doctor Who?
I still think dancing in ice was robbed.
Exactly. Look at us laughing through this bit and it's brilliant. I love the, you make it all epic and poetic and mythic here.
And now he can open the door with his snapping his fingers.
Yeah.
What's he
actually doing? Has he established a
don't question it to death.
Link?
Oh,
I'm just asking.
Well, you know, come on. That TARDIS is part of him now.
It's drama.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And he'll never do it again. Probably. Yeah. It's like the episodes in which he'll lose his keys.
He says, always actually, there's a part of me that sits and worries about the fact, because I'm tragic. You think, oh, if he lost his key, he wouldn't be able to get back in. That's a bit naff.
Come I always on, worry about, because we've mentioned a couple of times this, it was the remote control, because you would have a remote control for this thing. But the moment he does, all drama stops.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like, get me the TARDIS, I'm off. Mm.
But that's like saying, you know, he would fix it. He would he would fix the chameleon circuit, wouldn't he? And but it's right that he never does.
Yes. No, that's true.
It's part of who he is that he...
As we sit here, this is... I know nothing about this episode apart from this trailer. Which is very exciting for me, because I've read the other ones. So this will be, when I sit and watch this, I'm really looking forward to it. I have not, be the last time I can, for a long while, I can sit and watch Doctor Who.
Oh, that's weird.
Without knowing what's coming, which I'm so excited about it, because I've been hoarding it. See, it better be good.
Well, enough, I know, no pressure then. Dear God, Leslie Chong.
I really like this one.
I do?
Yeah.
What are you saying about mine?
Not just because I'm in it.
Is that what you're saying?
I made it all through 45 minutes.
Think of the future, David.
I got through 45 minutes without declaring a preference. I may have just messed it up.
That's right. Okay.
I love episodes 8 and 9.
Is he still talking?
I think they might be my favourites.
Yeah, bye. Thank you, faithful viewer.
Good night.
Farewell.
Bye.
This is usually I wait to the very end and say good night, Russell, because I figure the only person still listening. But
Hooray.
We hope you've enjoyed this Doctor Who podcast. To find details of other podcasts available from the BBC, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.